And here's Amna to give it a go.
I'll use the one that's already open here. Joshua chapter 6, and it's on page 220 in our Bibles. Now, Jericho was tightly shut up because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Make 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound aloud, a long blast on the trumpets, make all the people give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the people will go up, every man straight in." Excuse me. "So Joshua, son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, 'Take up the ark of the covenant of the Lord and make 7 priests carry trumpets in front of it.' And he ordered the people, 'Advance, march around the city with the armed guard going ahead of the ark of the Lord.' When Joshua had spoken to the people, the 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets before the Lord went forward blowing their trumpets, and the ark of the Lord's covenant followed them. The armed guard marched ahead of the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard followed the ark. All this time the trumpets were sounding, but Joshua had commanded the people, 'Do not give a war cry. Do not raise your voices. Do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout. Then shout.' So he had the ark of the Lord carried around the city, circling it once. Then the people returned to camp and spent the night there. Joshua got up early the following morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord. The 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets went forward, marching before the ark of the Lord and blowing the trumpets. The armed men went ahead of them, and the rear guard followed the ark of the Lord. While the trumpets kept sounding, so on the 2nd day they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. They did this for 6 days. On the 7th day, they got up at daybreak and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner, except that on that day, they circled the city 7 times. The 7th time round, when the priests sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. The city and all that is in it are to be devoted to the Lord. Only Rahab the prostitute and all who are with her in her house shall be spared, because she hid the spies we sent. But keep away from the devoted things, so that you will not bring about your own destruction by taking any of them. Otherwise, you will make the camp of Israel liable to destruction and bring trouble on it. All the silver and gold and the articles of bronze and iron and are sacred to the Lord and must go into his treasury.' When the trumpet sounded, the people shouted, and at the sound of the trumpet, when the people gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed, so every man charged straight in and they took the city. They devoted the city to the Lord and destroyed with the sword every living thing in it, men and women, young and old, cattle, sheep, and donkeys. Joshua said to the 2 men who had spied out the land, 'Go into the prostitute's house and bring her out and all who belong to her in accordance with your oath to her.' So the young men who had done the spying went in and brought out Rahab, her father and mother, and brothers and all who belonged to her. They brought out her entire family and put them in a place outside the camp of Israel. Then they burnt the whole city and everything in it. But they put the silver and gold and the articles of bronze and iron into the treasury of the Lord's house. But Joshua spared Rahab, the prostitute, with her family and all who belonged to her, because she hid the men Joshua had sent to spy in Jericho, and she lives among the Israelites to this day. At that time, Joshua pronounced this solemn oath: "Cursed before the Lord is the man who undertakes to rebuild the city Jericho. At the cost of his firstborn son will he lay its foundation. At the cost of his youngest will he set up its gates." So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame spread throughout the land. Amen.
This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. It's a great story. It's a great, great story. And that's probably the most important thing about it, is that it tells a truth about God's relationship with his people. Did it happen exactly in this way? Did they really shout and blow trumpets and have the walls of a city fall down? Probably. But what's more important is that it speaks of God and his relationship with his people. Promises made, promises kept. Things done, things seen to be done. And that's very important, and that still applies now with the way that we go about the business of God in our everyday lives. So Jericho was tightly shut up because of the Israelites. There was a city under siege. No one went out, no one came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, "I have delivered Jericho into your hands, and this is what I want you to do." And he gives Joshua precise instructions. "March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. 7 priests carrying trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. And when you hear them sound the long blast, everybody give a shout. The wall of the city will collapse. The people go up, every man straight in." And Joshua calls the priests and gives them instructions. This passage can seem quite repetitive because God gives the instructions to Joshua. Joshua gives the instructions to the priests. Joshua and the priests gives the instructions to everybody. Everybody carries it out. So we are told about 4 or maybe even 5 times exactly what has to happen. But that's because it's exactly what has to happen. These are the instructions. Carry them out. It's not like when you get a piece of IKEA furniture and you just guess. These are precise instructions. What is that screw for? Anyway, these are precise instructions, and they must be done and seen to be done. And so this is exactly what happens. And Joshua says to the people, "Do not give a war cry. Even when you're parading round and round and the trumpets are going, do not give a war cry. Do not raise your voices. Do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout, and then shout with all of your might." And so this is exactly what they do. And this is exactly what they do. This is quite rare in the Bible, as you may have noticed, that God's people carry out God's instructions precisely, without guessing or adding bits or doing it slightly wrong. And even in fact, as we get into the later part of the passage, Joshua issues an instruction to the people of Israel. And if you've read ahead to chapter 7, you'll know that they don't quite carry it out precisely and get it slightly wrong. And woe is unto them, as you shall see. But here they are carrying out the instructions. Here they are doing what they've been told to do, doing what they've been asked to do, doing what God has instructed them. And they do it precisely. And then, as we get to the middle of the chapter, Joshua gives the final instruction. Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. The city and all that are in it are to be devoted to the Lord. And then he has some precise instructions with regard to Rahab and how she must be saved and all of her family because of the thing that she did when the spies went ahead. Is it in? Yes, it is. Those of you who have a Pew Bible will notice that there is a footnote in verse 17. Rahab the prostitute, and then at the bottom it says, or possibly innkeeper. This is fascinating because I noticed this the first time I read the passage. Every time her name gets mentioned, it's not merely Rahab, it's Rahab the prostitute. And he talks about her being the prostitute. And this is a good thing because it means that no one is beyond redemption. Someone who turns to the Lord, someone who acts in good faith, doesn't matter what they've done up to that point, they can be saved. But there is that lovely footnote from the first time, from verse 17, where it says prostitute or innkeeper. My friend Trevor, who is a youth leader over in Kent, has a lovely picture of Rahab in heaven pinning a Bible translator to the wall and going, innkeeper, innkeeper. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what she did up to that point. Because at the point where it mattered, she did what God had asked of her. She sheltered the two spies. She allowed God's work to be done. No one is beyond redemption. No one is beyond saving. And as we see from this, very, very little is insurmountable. The walls of Jericho were mighty and seemed impenetrable. It seemed impossible that this could be done. Literally, insurmountable. And yet, God gave precise instructions. The precise instructions were carried out, and the thing that seemed impossible got done. And so, Rahab and her family are saved. Jericho is overrun and put to the sword. And the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame spread throughout the land. And this, I think, is what we can draw from this. That if God calls us to do something, then, you know, we should maybe do it. If God has some instructions for us, we should carry them out. If God calls us to do or be a particular thing at a particular time, then that's what we should do. And this didn't happen on a whim. This didn't happen on a maybe. There was real work to be done. You know, it's some verses on a page, but picture it in your mind. Joshua's entire army has to march round a city seven times. That's an entire city. That's seven times. That's a lot of marching. There's a lot of preparation goes into the moment when God's will is done. The priests are blowing their horns all the time. Have you any idea how much puff that takes? Yeah. Even if they're doing it on a sort of a rota, you know, you blow, and then you blow, and then you blow. Yeah, That's still, yeah. And they're marching at the same time. I don't know if I'd mentioned this. Yeah. And some of them are carrying the ark. And we know how heavy that is. And we know how important that is. And we know what God does to people when they trip over while they're carrying it. So that has to be carried carefully around the city 7 times every day. There's a lot of preparation goes into this thing. There's a lot of work to be done. And it's quite probable that some of the soldiers about halfway through day 3 are going, are we sure about this? Yeah. Is this really what we have to be doing? And it is. They're not seeing the results just yet. But Joshua knows that the results will come. The groundwork has to be laid. The preparations have to be done. And they have to be done properly. You can dig over a garden and you can sort of lob some seeds in a general direction. I think there's a parable about it. But if you want stuff to grow well, you have to plant it, and they have to be a certain distance apart and a certain distance down, and you have to water them regularly and all of that stuff. And then you stand there every day and you go, not grown yet. But you know, a lot of preparation goes into the moment. And this is how it is with this. This is how it is with God. If we want to get his work done, then there is some actual work that this will involve. Some actual doing of stuff. And it may not seem terribly productive, and it may seem quite repetitive, and it may not seem to be going anywhere. But yet, when the moment happens, when God moves in power, everyone goes, oh, that's why we did that. Yes, thank you, well done. Yes, that's what the moment is for. God moves. And the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame spread throughout the land. And there are promises made. God makes promises to Joshua. Joshua makes promises to his people. Joshua made promises to Rahab and kept them. And Joshua keeps his promises to the people, and God keeps his promises to Joshua. And there is work to be done, and the promises are kept and seen to be kept. It's one of the reasons that I chose a song immediately before that spoke about Jesus and talked about the cross. Because Jesus kept a promise to us. And it seemed a bit odd. And it seemed a bit impossible. And there was a lot of pain and a lot of effort that went into the moment. And yet, when the moment came, when he rose from the grave, then we see God moving in power. And we realise what all of it was for. And if we look back at our own lives, if we look back at our own story, I don't just throw this together, you know. If we look back at what God has already done for us, then we can see him moving, and we can see him achieving things in us. And we can see how much work it took, and we can see how long it took to get there, and how much repetition was involved. I look back at my own life. I couldn't tell you how many times I sat through an assembly at school. I couldn't tell you how many times we sang Streets of London. It was the 70s, it was a different time. I couldn't tell you how many communion services I sat through. When I got to be a teenager, I got help with communion. I got to wear a black robe that didn't fit, and I got to stand there and hold the stuff while the vicar doled it out. Something for me to do. And sometimes, you know, it's the Church of England, ASB, Series 3. And so you're about into the fourth page of what the priest says before we actually hand the stuff out. And, you know, it takes forever. And it seems to be repetitious. And it's one of the reasons I sort of drifted away from the Church of England, because you could set your watch by it, literally. And it didn't seem to be speaking to me. But it did. I just didn't know it at the time. It was years, years later, when I came back to faith, in my 30s, and I realised what it had all been about, what it had all meant, what it had meant from the start. And my mother taking me to church, and my mother making sure that I heard the Bible stories, and my mother making sure that I read the Bible stories, so that I knew about Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, and he walls come tumbling down. That all this stuff was in there, even if I couldn't quite see the reason for it. Even if I couldn't quite see the point. So that when I was older, and possibly wiser, older anyway, and it all started to fit into place. Who here has done a jigsaw with more than 1,000 pieces? So you've got the edges, and they're fairly easy to find because they're the edges, because they've got a straight side on them. And you've probably got half the sky. But you pick a piece up and you've got, where does this go? Because it's got sort of brown and red bits on it, and I look at the picture and there's absolutely nothing. And eventually, of course, it does go somewhere. And it's quite important, and the jigsaw puzzle isn't complete without it. And so if you look back at your life, and you look back at all the odd things that happen, and you go, well, what was the point of that? Well, you may never find out, but it is part of the jigsaw puzzle. It is part of who you are. Every single moment of your life up to this point, and indeed all the other moments between now and forever, make who you are. Change who you are. And if we're doing this right, then God is in them. God is present. God is moving by his Spirit. God is making the changes, making the pieces fall into place. And we may not see it at the time. We may not go, what is the point of this? And my mother, God bless her, I remember a particularly hard time in my life. And I was talking to my mother on the phone, and my mum goes, it's character building. And I'm like, yes, thanks. I'm not sure my character needs this much building. But, yeah. But she was right. She was right. Because it shapes who you are. And so these hard things that people go through, and they may not want to go through them, and they're probably right not to want to go through them. I said in my testimony at my baptism, I don't recommend divorce and unemployment as the path to spiritual fulfillment, but it's what happened to me. And you may not enjoy the things that you go through, because they're not there to be enjoyed. Sometimes they are just there to be survived, to be got past, but to be learned from, to be understood. And so here goes Joshua and his army, marching round and round the city. And it takes a long time, and it's a bit tedious, and they're following precise instructions, and they're not entirely sure why. But God is there. God gets his stuff done. And when it happens, and everyone goes, oh, that's it. Yes, it was. Yes, it was. And we look at our own lives and we go, well, what was the point of that? God is present. God is in those moments, even the ones that we really, really didn't like. Even the ones that we could have possibly avoided. Even the ones where we were entirely in the wrong. God was present. There. Waiting for us to notice. So, when God speaks to us, when God gives us precise instructions, let's carry them out. When God is there to guide us, let us be guided. Singly, collectively. When God is present in decisions, when God is present in preparation, let us do what needs to be done. For the rewards are great. And through Jesus Christ, the rewards are eternal. And life may be difficult now. Life may be difficult right now. Life may be difficult tomorrow. And the day after, and the day after that. But God is present. Look for him. Seek him out. Listen to what he has to say. Let's pray. Almighty Father God, when things seem insurmountable, you are there. When things seem at their darkest, you are there. When we cannot find you, you are there. Help us, Lord. Shine a light into our darkness. Help us to spot the way that you would have us follow. Help us to get done the things that you would have us do. Help us to know and accept your love, your compassion, your forgiveness. Help us to know and accept it from others. And help us to share it with them. Lord, in all our trials and tribulations and difficulties, may your presence be known. May we find you. Almighty Father God, we ask and pray your blessing upon us in all that we continue to do. In your name and in the name of your Son Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's stand and sing together. It's one by the Rend Collective. Who's coming on to Hedge End on the whatever it is? Yeah. There will be much singing and dancing.